The Takeaway is supported by the new CNN original series, American Dynasties, The Kennedys, narrated by Martin Sheen. You know their name, you don't know their whole story. Watch new episodes of The Kennedys Sundays at 9 Eastern on CNN.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to have you with us this hour. March 8th, today, is International Women's Day. The United Nations has used this day for decades to celebrate women's economic and political achievements, but also to bring focus to essential issues affecting women everywhere, and especially in poorer countries. Now, over the last year, women across the globe have protested sexual harassment and violence. With the Me Too movement here in the United States, Yo Tambien in Mexico, Spain, and South America, Balance Tampoc in France, and Anna Kamen in Arab states. Well, this year, UN Women is hoping to transform this momentous amount of female activism into broader action. Phumzile Mlambo Ngcuka is executive director of UN Women. Her team is using International Women's Day to focus on rural women who make up over a quarter of the world's population, but are lacking resources and support in almost every measure of development.
Rural women and girls are one constituency that is at risk of being left behind, not unless we take active and targeted approaches to reach out to them. We are talking about rural women, but forging alliances between rural women and urban women, especially because in urban areas, in most countries, you have pockets of women who have some of the same challenges that are faced by rural women. So we don't want to overlook those women as well.
You've connected the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement in the United States and other Western countries to the plight of rural women and farm workers. Can you explain what these two phenomena have in common, in your view?
Yes. What the Me Too movement captures is the high prevalence of harassment and sexual abuse in women by perpetrators who never have to be accountable, and impunity that goes unchecked. In all cultures, women are just never believed or taken serious when they complain about any form of harassment. In fact, they do not even have words for it. As a result of this movement, all over the world, institutions, governments are having to actually look at the environment that they provide for women. It is generating a conversation that is relevant for women everywhere. The truth is, if the Me Too movement is able to help to foster a change of culture, which is relevant for us in the United Nations, because that is where everybody sits, from the United States to Bangladesh, to the Congo, to South Africa, to Argentina, all of these countries are here. And our responsibility as UN Women is to help member states to set standards on these issues. For the next week, which we do every year, we sit and we discuss issues that in the Commission of the Status of Women, issues that are critical for women. This year is rural women, but we will bring this issue. We are going to be able to show how what is happening in Hollywood happens also even in a more intense and more devastating way in the rural areas.
Well, these two issues have collided in Myanmar, the treatment of rural women and sexual assault and harassment for that matter. We have followed the ethnic cleansing and the harassment of the Rohingya people as they fled Myanmar into Bangladesh. And you've just returned from the Cox's Bazar refugee camp in Bangladesh, where so many Rohingya refugees have taken refuge now. What did you see while you were there?
Well, it was very clear that the women in that refugee camp are traumatized. The numbers are huge. I have never seen a refugee camp of that size. The number of children that you see there, and the fact that these women who themselves have nothing are sitting there, many of them without their partners, carrying their own children. There's very little food and facilities that you would need as a mother bringing up children. It is truly one of the most devastating experiences that any society and any community could ever go through.
And we should also make very clear the systematic use of rape on the part of Myanmar soldiers and paramilitaries to terrorize Rohingya women on their way out of the country as part of this horrific ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, and no possibility for the women to seek justice. While I was there, We launched a program in partnership with the Bangladesh National Human Rights Commission to do the best that we can to interview, to document from women whatever experience they were willing to talk about their abuse and rape. Those who are able to name their perpetrators to provide us that information so that we can start documenting and producing a book of some sorts that one day, somewhere, there may be an opportunity for justice to be served. We will do what we can to capture some form of data and information that can be credible enough to be used in a court of law.
There is an agreement now between Bangladesh and Myanmar for refugees to begin to return to Myanmar, although a lot of observers have said this agreement is premature, there's no accountability, there's no monitoring. They've tried to put the brakes on this plan. You've been to Cox's Bazar. Do you think that refugees should be returning now from Bangladesh back to Myanmar?
Well, on one hand, when you look at Cox's Bazar and the fact that this is not the best place for anyone to live for a long time, you would wish that they go somewhere else where it is safer. But when you think about where they have come from and the fact that when they go back, people like you and me will not even have access and would not be able to go and support them, would not be able to deliver medical care, you realize that they're between, you know, a hard place and a rock. But the difference about being in Bangladesh is that there's a semblance of support, protection, law, even though not all their rights can be protected, but there is recourse of sorts and they work with people who want to support them. Once they go back, I think all of us have really limited capacity to be of support to them.
And have there been any assurances or guarantees from the government in Myanmar that if and when Rohingya refugees do return, that they won't be simply persecuted again?
Well, I am really not aware of that, but all of us are aware of continued and systematic violation of rights. So I think common sense should tell us that the time is not yet right.
Well, on this International Women's Day, your focus is on rural women now. What's the biggest focus for the UN Women's Organization in 2018 beyond this year's notoriety?
Well, the issue and the theme of violence against women is still very strong because of the size of the problem as it exists globally. We're focusing on trafficking in Asia. We're focusing on cultural practices that are harmful to women in Africa, such as child marriage, female genital mutilation. We are focusing on domestic violence and sexual violence in Latin America and equal pay. In different countries, depending on what is possible for us to do in a particular country, we'll focus on more than one aspect of women's economic empowerment. But in all countries where there's still legislation that discriminates against women, we are spending a lot of our time and energy in either helping to repeal those laws, to amend those laws, or to pass laws where there's a gap. For instance, in countries that have no laws that criminalize domestic violence. In some countries, we have laws that allow for a man to be forgiven for rape if he rapes a minor and then marries the minor. That is considered as having atoned, which means that the poor child is married to her rapist, who then can rape her for the rest of her life.
I wanted to ask about some of the debates that have been going on in some Middle Eastern countries. We've been covering it, the so-called marry your rapist laws and changes in the law in places like Lebanon, I believe, Tunisia, other countries. Also places like Saudi Arabia, where the kingdom appears to be trying to liberalize at least its image and giving more rights to women to drive, for instance, which is a very small step in this day and age. How encouraged are you by the legal changes that have been made in these countries since it seems to be your focus?
Well, we have been part of making these changes. So we are encouraged because a lot of our energy, time and budget goes into changing these laws and then into supporting the implementation and helping to fight the stereotypes and the laws that will exist even when you have got the good law. But the slate has not been cleaned completely. We still have about 37 countries where women are still expected to marry their rapists. So our focus as UN Women is to eliminate all of these laws and to make sure that where we don't have the laws that are enabling and protecting women, then those laws are passed.
Phumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka is Executive Director of UN Women. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.